Oh boy, do we have a special episode for you. Now, if you've ever heard us talk about this thing called Emeryland, well, this is a part due. We wanted to put these out to show you that what you've been missing is really amazing. And if you haven't joined Emeryland yet, trust me, you're going to want to do that. In Shallow Seas, we sell live vinyl, is on sale now in Emeryland. In Emeryland, you get all the demos we created for the next album. You get to hear the songs right from the demo version, and you'll be able to watch us progress as we make this new album together. The new album is soon. As soon as it's done, you get it months before the public. You get instant access to this episode, part due, and the Emerylanders are getting another part due, a brand new fresh part due. This is an older one that we thought was really funny and we thought you guys would like and show you what part due is like. You get all the Emery specials. You get exclusive music. You get free pre-show tickets to any Emery show this year. The pre-show is amazing. We're doing While Broken Hearts Prevail, the EP that came before In Shallow Seas We Sail, and you get in for free if you're in Emeryland. You also get 20% off everything. Emerymusic.com, songs and stories tickets, custom songs, marriage supply, our sex toy company. You probably need a dildo. You probably need a vibrator. You probably need a C-ring. Anyway, so just join Emerymusic.com. Seriously. Also, before we get to the episode, I just want to tell you, if you're listening to this, you probably missed some of these shows, but we are going to be, we're doing All the Ohio Is for Lovers. We're doing September 12th, Harrisonburg, Virginia, Songs and Stories. September 13th, Brooklyn, New York with Slow Joy. September 14th, Asbury Park, New Jersey with Slow Joy. September 15th, Washington, D.C., Songs and Stories. That's going to be fun. D.C., Songs and Stories, you do not want to miss that. The Harrisonburg, Virginia, Songs and Stories, too. You can just show up. You're going to like these. Philadelphia with Slow Joy on September 2nd. September 16th, rather, and September 17th, Boston, Massachusetts is for lovers. It's kind of outside of Boston, but that's the last Is for Lovers I think we're doing maybe this year. I don't know. So come see us. These are all going to be fun. This episode, I'm not going to give you any details about it because you're just going to listen just like the Emerylanders do, and just hear it right off the cuff. This is just us being us, and you're going to love it. All right, let's get to it.
Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you've been getting your money's worth on snow, right? Skiing and stuff?
Well, we couldn't go this last weekend because of my...
But you've been a few times.
At least. Yeah, we'll go up this weekend at least once.
That's cool.
We got the most snow in the world, our mountains did, in last week.
In the world?
In the world.
How much total?
It was like a 5-day period. It was like 65 inches up there.
Wow. That's crazy. How much did you get down your way?
We got a foot in my neighborhood.
Wow, that's decent.
Yep. It's the most since we've been here. I had to dig one of our cars out because we don't park them both in the garage. So, pretty intense. Shoveling a foot of snow is...
Yeah. You got to buy a snowblower.
I thought about it, but our area where we have to shovel is just so small.
Oh, so your driveway is just short?
Yeah, because we live, it's very kind of, you know, fake urban. Mm-hmm. So we just have an alley and then you know, 20 foot by 6 foot driveway.
Oh, I gotcha.
And then they send the snow plow down the alley. Mm.
Yeah, we haven't had much snow. We had a little bit, but we don't usually get that much. We probably get 3 or 4 inches at a time, you know?
Yeah, it feels like Illinois is one of those places where you get like 2 feet, though, randomly. Like, yeah, but just fucked.
It's weird because we're like, for some reason or another, I guess it's the way everything moves across the U.S., you know, the weather. But like, we're right on the line. So it's like every time you see a storm, it's like we're at the bottom edge,
right?
Mostly of what that storm is. So I don't think we get the brunt of it like Chicago or something, you know?
Yeah. But
we'll get some. It was cold here week or two ago. It was like negative 10 one night. I mean, just cold, you know. But it's 60 today. It's like 65. I don't know what the hell's going on.
That's ridiculous. That's a Nashville had tornado one.
Yeah, we did too, I think.
Damn.
Wild. I don't know what's going on. Oh, man. All right, we kicking it off here?
God, I'm snacking so hard. I cannot stop snacking. I'm not drinking. I'm
wanting
and
to
so,
snack.
So I'm snacking. I have Cheez-Its. And this this tiny bag is 210 calories.
Have you ever found the extra toasty Cheez-Its?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I don't ever eat Cheez-Its.
I
my
love
kids
Cheez-Its.
Do all the time.
You're missing out. They're amazing.
I'm not saying they're not good. I'm just saying I never desire them. I'd rather have a Ritz or a saltine cracker than almost anything else.
Cheez-Its are probably my top
snack.
Know
why. Are they?
Probably top. Yeah.
They're really good.
They're big. You think they're bigger than Goldfish for kids?
For kids, no.
But for adults, probably.
Well, Cheez-Its a little stronger flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you get them so extra Goldfish, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. No, those are good.
I don't like them because it's like a powder on them. Yeah, it's not baked in. It's like a, yeah.
Did you have good Christmases?
Yeah. Matt did.
Oh, yeah.
It's so funny between the difference between me and Matt is because this year I thought, man, that was just a wonderful Christmas. And it was just like, it was one of those years that I was like noticing how great it was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I was really trying to savor those moments of how great it was. Mm-hmm. And then Matt, like Matt, almost the opposite.
Matt, I realized Matt went dark for like a week. And it hit me the other night, and I was like, wait, Matt, I texted him about something else separately that I thought he would have responded to. And I was like, Matt has been gone. Like, something is wrong.
Yeah.
So,
sometimes I enjoy thinking about what Matt is doing.
Yeah.
Like, it's entertaining to me to think about what Matt's doing right now.
Like him walking around Seattle something. Doing something.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
That too. Like it's Matt in Seattle walking around going to do something.
I'm always doing something. I am always doing something. And if I could just tell you about all of it, you would be entertained by it. I trust me. If I could really explain everything that I'm going through at any given moment, I feel it would be entertaining, like the Truman Show at least. But yeah, it's, I mean, I can't even do the whole, I mean, I can't even do it. Like I can't even do the whole story of it or whatever, but the, just, I was involved with, Nana and the hospital and the hospital's lawyers and a home for her and, just all this crazy stuff at a like emergency like level on Christmas Eve at about 6 o'clock. And then Christmas Day, also a very big, you know, multi-system intervention, like big, you know, doing a lot of stuff with Nana and the hospitals and the home and where she's got to go and how that's all, you know, working out. That's really tough. So it's like the doing the, like it, we had two, you know, she's in transition anyway, and it was really difficult. So we're like, I'm at the hospitals on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, basically, like trying to make everything go as smooth as possible and get the, you know, talk to the doctors about this and the home about this and try to get, because she's resistant to any transition or change in any way. So it's like, you know, it's been, yet, and that stuff just kind of all happened over the holidays, and particularly the crisis points were Christmas Eve about 6 p.m. and Christmas Day at about 10 a.m. So that was that was literally what Christmas was. That was Christmas itself. God. was the situations like that, and it's work. We've got it worked out, and you know, at least we're have made progress in all the things that need to happen in the thing. But she's not at our house anymore, so that's been turbulent. But that's the only way I can say it quickly without telling the whole story, but it's been turbulent, and we are have made progress, and things it is good. She's in a place, and now we can get. You know, we've made a lot of progress with her understanding or whatever. But you know, she's accepting a lot more reality now, so we're getting closer to reality. She's starting to understand what how things are going to have to go. And it's you know, so we're getting somewhere, but it's been turbulent. That's it. That's the only way I can say. But anyway, that is also like we did have it didn't. I mean, we still had a Christmas. Like that wasn't those things weren't the full hours of both days. Right. Like so, the Christmas we did have was good. Like and meaningful and like it'll be the memory of this Christmas might be a really good one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Overall, because it was, you know, everybody, like, it's just a whole family.
You got your Nana out of your house.
Just that whole thing is going to be a thing that'll be more memorable than probably last Christmas or next Christmas, at least. And that's kind of what Christmas is about. Because it, do you know what I mean? So
getting your family out of your house.
You know, just getting, you know, doing what, you know, staying positive.
Doing whatever it takes. Yeah.
helping somebody figure something out. That's what sucks about those situations is like all you're really doing, because I kind of went through it with my dad and everything, and it was like what you're really doing is you're just waiting on someone to tell you what to do next. Like to me, that's what it feels like to me. It's like it's always like, okay, I asked somebody a question about something, now I'm waiting on them to kind of – it's always like, it just felt like I was just constantly waiting on, okay, like, what are we supposed to do now? Or what's next?
But there's not somebody to tell you.
And finally, it kind of relaxed into something.
Yeah. But most of those hard steps, it's like when you get to, especially when the situation's weird, it's like, well, there's not a way that this works. It's just whatever's going to happen. Like, and you have to let things play out that are the way they are. Right. That's super stupid sounding, but... it's just like it's not much choice in just playing out processes with stuff, and so but you don't ever feel like isn't somebody supposed to tell me how it's supposed to work? But you know there isn't.
Yeah, right.
I cannot stop eating, and it's because I did I think 25 milligrams before the podcast.
That's I did a lot.
Three fives, and then. Okay, I did half of a 10. So 20.
20. That's 20 still milligrams. Decent for you. Remember last time we did 10 each? We were watching a movie that we didn't enjoy. The Black Panther movie.
Yeah, I didn't really enjoy it.
I heard it wasn't that great.
It was a little disappointing.
It was just disappointing because it could have been so good.
Well, and the first one was unreal.
Yeah.
Yes. It didn't live up to that. But with 10, exactly. We were like really... you know what I mean? We were kind of spacey that night, but 20, that's a lot.
That is a lot.
Yeah, and I just can't stop eating, and it's just bad. Like, I finally worked out the day, but now I came home, and I ate dinner, and then I knew we were doing this podcast. I started snacking, and you know what gets me? The fucking chips, man.
Yeah, dude.
The Cheez-Its, right? You know what was killing me, murdering me right now? Stacy's. Y'all get Stacy's pita chips? Oh, my God. It's just pita. Chip.
You, and are you dipping put them?
On anything? Yeah, I got several dips. Yeah.
Several
a
dips.
Chicken dip. This like caramelized onion, creamy dip. I had French onion dip, and I'm just bam, 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 and I just can't stop. Flaming hot popcorn.
It's just so good.
I know. It's just, man. I ate too much over the holidays, and now I'm in this vicious cycle where it's can't. Hard. I go, no. And then I'm like, ooh, now I got to eat. And I think the weed's got me hungry. I'm hungry.
It gets me hungry.
It gets me hungry.
I did a little bit tonight, but I think I'm not far enough where I can control my eating.
Yeah.
Because I've been trying to stop. But I was, it's crazy because right before the new year, I was like, all right, for real, I'm going to really start. And then, you know, Monday, because you can't start on a Sunday.
No, even though it's the new year.
It's ridiculous.
Start on Monday. But on Sunday, I was like, I'm not sure I can do this. I don't know if I can do this. If I can, I don't know if I can go back. That's what I was telling myself. I was like, can you go back? or is this just it?
Like, but you're at a point of no return?
It was almost like yeah. okay, what am I doing? I love this food that I'm eating.
You're happy.
Yeah.
It just makes you happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want to live longer. I do. You know, I want to be around for my family.
Yeah.
But, man, it's just... It makes just like, life.
Are you
good.
Not going to enjoy your life? Yeah, you got to enjoy your life, don't you?
Yeah, but I woke up Monday and I got back into it. I did start doing the cold dip again, and that was brutal.
Oh, that was bad
because I haven't done it in a few weeks.
You have it outside.
Was very cold. Yeah, the water was very cold.
So you didn't spend much time on the precipice of decide. Like, you couldn't have really decided. No. Like, even if you decided, would you have gone another month or something? There'd been some trigger. Soon enough.
No.
Right?
It definitely would. But it's just, I knew I was going to. I was just like, man, it would be so nice not to. And just give in.
Yeah.
Just give in.
Yeah. You see why people do it. That's like my 600-pound life. There comes some point where you get to a certain weight and either you keep going or you are able to turn around or stop. You know what I mean? And when I watched 600 Pound Life, I just kept wondering, where was their point where they're like, I mean, was it 300 pounds? Was it 270? I mean, like,
I bet you it was way early. The point in their mind where it was too late. Like, oh, I already did this. I already did that. And I've already done that. Yeah. Like, they were probably
they
not
400 more.
But they just kind of dug in real hard and said, well, I've already done so much bad. It's too bad now. And then just hardened on that a little bit versus be able to. So it probably wasn't some crazy weight. It's probably an early weight when it was a done deal. But they are able to change it.
Yeah. It probably just gets easier and easier.
Do those people on the show ever change it?
375 mark. A lot of them, I mean, a lot of them don't, and they struggle.
Some do, but not many.
Yeah. Yeah. Or they're just trying to get the gastric bypass surgery, but the doctor makes them not. Do it until they show that they can lose some weight on their own so that they're serious about it. But I even think the gastric bypass surgery now, if you keep eating, I think it even kind of it loosens back up or something like that. And I think
you have to be able to make the decision to do something that goes together with the seriousness of the surgery. It's an intervention. It's also psychological, and you need both pedals on that bike to make it stick.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, I mean, a lot of them just can't lose weight. They just can't.
Yeah. I saw a guy who on TikTok, I think I saw him. He ate the same thing one day that somebody on that show ate. And it was ended up being 25,000 calories.
Good God.
In one day.
Wow.
he was able to go till midnight. He ate, I think it was like two large pizzas. And a bunch of wings for dinner. And he had to, like, split it up into shifts. Like, you know,
he was able to eat it all?
Yeah, he got it all. 25,000. Yeah. But he was eating constantly. It was, like, every hour. Oh, man.
What's the, like, highest calorie density thing you could eat? Like, if you were just trying to eat
25,000
calories. Just something like that? Yeah.
I mean, cheesecake is my go-to there. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure technically higher, but I bet that's approaching it.
Matt took 40 milligrams.
Yeah.
No, your internet's laggy. So it's like,
Matt, you're at your dad's house?
Yeah, I'm in South Carolina in my childhood bedroom right now, tethered on my freaking, you know, just from my phone on the internet and making a podcast, which, you know, it's kind of weird. It's just kind of trippy. Yeah. But yeah, that's where I'm.
You could have almost done that when you were a teenager.
Well, yeah. Like, right? If the internet would be here, I could have been broadcasting out of here.
You could
have
recorded
it,
but no internet or anything.
Yeah. But it's like, you know, this is my, I'm in my domain of, you know, early childhood development and teenage and the beginning of Emory. Wow. And that's here at this, you know, this bedroom or whatever, you know.
Where you first whacked it.
Yeah. Well, I was given the other, like, the nicer version of it. Like, everything horrible also happened right here.
I spent many
all the sins.
Many.
So you're there because you went to your dad's wedding. Can you talk about it?
No, no,
house.
No,
so
his wedding. It's not the wedding.
Oh, the wedding hasn't happened.
No, the wedding's at the end of February. We just came for holidays because we hadn't been in so long, and the wedding is going to be, they're going to be like, that's not going to be, we're not going to get to hang out or whatever.
Sure.
So we just, you know, we just did it. Like, we just had this on, put it on the calendar and said, let's just do it and whatever. So it's just,
I used to do that with my wife.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine though. It's good because it's like, it's good. Like my whole, so I had 13 people had, Gigi and Tim and Emmy and Cindy and Liz. Nice. And so we had the whole thing that I would consider my family basically. And then there's the people in Texas, but all the people here. So it was pretty good. So I'm glad we make it happen with my, you know, three kids being the centerpiece of value there. So this is a good, that's a cool thing.
How does Bridget function in that group? Does she feel pretty comfortable?
She, you know, martyrs? We've been coming here since, you know, 2004 or whatever. We're her visiting. No, I don't know about four. So it's been a long whole thing of them, you know, getting to know each other and stuff like that. And so it's like they, you know, Bridget is the way she is in those ways that they totally understand her. And sometimes she's withdrawn or sometimes she's this or that. But they all get along really good. And you know how Bridget is, you know, how she'll just go to the other room if she needs to or whatever, but she can't not be the way she is, but they, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that bad about her, but it's just, it's like everybody understands each other. And it was, but you know, especially given from when we first started coming here and just, I mean, it almost sounds crazy, but it's just like, she was just different racially and everything. So it's always been the fact that I've moved to Seattle, met somebody, that person is Bridget, and then bring her back here. It's always, there's a culture shockiness to it inherently.
Yeah.
And Bridget being as like authentic as she is, the way she is, just really like, my family's a weird family anyway. So it's like, but it's part of that eclectic mix of my family. Like, it feels like part of the eclectic mix of the weird people in my family. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because they're all, you know, everybody in my family is kind of weird.
I think if anybody outside of the Southeast, maybe part of the Midwest, came to meet many of the people in the South or like some of our families and stuff like that, I think it'd be culture shock for every person outside of those areas.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly think that. Like, I don't think they would get it. It'd be like, I don't understand this. It's almost like a whole different country, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really? Just people talk so differently. And I mean, everything, it's just, and the culture is just so strange. I mean, it cool, but just so foreign, it feels like, mm-hmm. from everybody else. So
I think Cassie felt that way when we moved to Nashville and when she started meeting my family.
Yeah, probably.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Is there such a thing as a traveler? Not a Delta. Because we know on one flight, Mike in 8C prefers reality TV to reality. So we provide more than 1,000 hours of in-flight entertainment. While on the flight after, 8C is occupied by Jen, whose favorite snack is tea. That's why we provide fast, free Delta Sync Wi-Fi available for SkyMiles members. Because at Delta, we know.
Refill?
Everyone flies their own way. Delta, keep climbing. Free Wi-Fi available on most domestic flights. Terms of use apply.
People still, I mean, it's funny here when I'm meeting new people, my voice really does stand out. I don't think it is as bad as it used to be. Like, I don't
know. Probably.
And it's funny. my kids, it was funny. I was talking to Ruby. She's our oldest. And she said, Dad, all my friends say, "You sound so crazy." Like, so Southern. And she goes, "And I don't hear what they're talking about. You sound normal." But
that's funny.
Yeah,
she
that's
doesn't
sweet.
Have a, really
that.
A country accent. Yeah. But
she's just so used to it.
Yeah, but I do. And they all her friends think I sound like, you know, mm-hmm. Jeff Foxworthy.
Mm-hmm. You're
like,
right.
Like, that must yeah. be a joke.
Yeah, I know. Everything I say is a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only person
right.
I ever heard sound like me is right. Jeff Foxworthy.
Well, I mean, you
hey, little kid.
Yeah, you're just
you
a cartoon.
What is that?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And that's when y'all think about me going around in Seattle doing stuff. I'm some cartoon everywhere I fucking go
yeah.
because I'm
yeah.
animated and I'm stupid. I do stupid stuff. And I look
you're
weird.
Very tall.
I talk crazy. Yeah. I'm tall. I'm moving my arms. I'm bumping into people. I sound like I'm crazy. And that is that. Yeah. I'm some cartoon. Like, that is how it. I think I'm experienced. And I talk this weird way. It, you know, it's just weird. I don't know how, I mean, I can't yeah. avoid it.
I mean, you stick out more, obviously.
Yeah.
But me
but
and
the accent,
Toby.
Toby's accent didn't
like,
go away either, though. Like, most people's
Toby's
do.
Accent is strong.
It's he's 80%.
Sometimes.
He's 80%. I'm probably 95% retained. And Toby's probably 80% retention of his accent. Isn't he?
Probably.
And you probably not even. You probably but less.
Something.
You've probably less.
I
may probably 50, 65, 70, 50, 60%.
People still notice it. They still say stuff to me like, "Oh, where are you from?" And I'll tell them. But
and
it
maybe it wasn't
like
ever
strong,
as
but.
It maybe it wasn't ever as animated as Toby's and mine's natural affect. But you know what I mean?
Probably.
So it's
helps,
not that you've
sure.
lost it a bunch, but you have lost it some for sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
But some people around here, like country farmers, they kind of sound Southern. Oh. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
that guy sounds
yeah.
really country.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't feel like I probably stick out quite as much here.
No.
But I promise you, if it means people could come and have a conversation with my dad when he was alive or my brother, Ronald, they wouldn't be able to communicate. There wouldn't be fractures in their communication every 3 seconds.
Yeah.
It would be unbelievable. And I mean, I've said this before to you guys, but Megan didn't understand my dad for a couple years. I mean, like, she would understand bits of pieces, but she would look at me after everything he said, and I would have to tell her.
You had to basically years. Translate, right? I mean, you were
yes.
feeling like, oh, I'm a translator.
Yes, yeah, all the time. So I can't imagine.
He says,
"Okay, so that's he's no, it, this, that's good. It's good. That's a
and
good
then my
thing.
Dad would look
that's
at me like
thing.
He didn't understand her,
right?
And I'm like, wait, what? She doesn't have an accent. Oh my gosh, it's insane. But it'd be unreal. Think of like a 18-year-old person from Orange County.
Yeah."
Comes as a conversation with one of our folks.
Yeah,
your dad's
yeah,
pretty
yeah.
Southern too, Matt.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
Well, every he time is. I hear him again after a while, I'm like, oh wow, buddy. Mm-hmm.
Well, he's
you know, just
yeah,
it's
he's always. I mean, of course, he's kept his accent or whatever, but he is. It's also part of his charm. You know, he's aware. He has charm awareness. I guess that's probably a charm thing. You know,
I can tell.
So, that's part of, yeah. so it's part of, you know, it's part of the delivery of the personality model. You know, there's something in, you know, if it's useful yeah. to you, you know, even the way I talk with my arms and all that stuff, it probably would be better to not have to do all that. It's just natural. Like it's useful. Well, that's why I feel like I'm texting with people. I'm like, well, if it's just the words, is that even good? Is this going to work at all? That's the way it feels when I'm texting. It's like, well, I'm not getting right. to really express myself here. So this is probably not good. But my dad's that same.
It's funny because every now and then, yeah, he does have a Southern charm. I mean, you can tell he knows. It's kind of like Joe Head, a little bit like Josh's yeah. dad. He knows he's charming and cool, you know. The same way his buddy is. He seems a little bit sophisticated, Southern gentleman kind of guy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, but That's crazy. I mean, because, yeah, I've known Buddy for a long time.
Yeah, and, it, you know, getting married soon, so.
He's getting
it's like crazy. Like, I swear, I mean, you know, he, I went in his bedroom today.
He's right behind you.
And he has, I promise. Listen to this. Listen to this. I went in his, yeah, really. But he, I went in his bedroom today, and he has a, it's a Tim Keller marriage book as part of his premarital counseling at the church. Get married up.
Got Toby.
Toby.
You got Toby. You know.
I mean, that's so funny.
I mean, that's really funny.
Oh, you think you're single dad, you'd find a playboy. You know, you'd find something like that. Tim Keller, just like disappointed.
It's like,
so just it's, like a it, single man, you're like, this dude fucking rocks. No.
No.
Oh, man.
He's there doing premarital at the church. Yeah. And yeah. Has the Tim Keller book on the thing. And I was like, oh, Tim Keller, you know. But I mean, it's no idea who Tim Keller is or as complimentarian is. Or right. He doesn't know, you know, that stuff. But it's like, yeah, son. And it's just like, you know, but he's doing this. Yeah. And it's just, it's blowing my mind. It's so funny. Oh, it's man. So funny. Wow.
Good Lord. That is so funny you found that. Golly. And he's just going to be married.
Yeah.
I mean, he's going
at 70.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Four?
No.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't 72? Know. Somewhere in between. Somewhere
that's
in there.
That's cool, though. I mean, he'll get a few years out of it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not scared.
You hope.
You know, it gives me hope. It gives me hope, at least.
You hope.
I mean, I don't know when or where, but it gives me fucking hope. If your dad can do it, I can, right?
Oh, man, Buddy Carter.
Oh,
I'm going to send him a wedding gift.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Were they, are they just getting married at the house or something small, or is it like a real deal like church?
It's something small. You know, it's something small. I don't know the details exactly of it, but it's pretty small. Yeah. But it's official. It's,
is that going, you think you might could get hit with a motion? Like, could you get like sideswiped by a motion?
Let me think about it.
I hadn't thought about that.
Let me pre-process a little bit.
And he might be emotional. You might see your dad emotional in a way you haven't seen.
Shit, you're right. I probably should do some pre-processing on that. That would be high liability for me to do something I could be blindsided by. I think you're right.
Yeah.
Because that sounds absurd
right.
When you say it. So it's not like I would give that a shred of thought.
Right.
But I might have to do a little pre-processing lest I would get caught out of whack.
You better.
Like your dad goes to read his vows and goes,
"Yeah, oh my gosh, that's hilarious."
I don't know her name. I'll call her Tammy. I don't know what her name is. I'll just call her Tammy. Tammy, before I met you, I was lost at sea, one of the lowest points in my life. And then, like a beacon in the night, you brought me back to land. And Matt's just sobbing. And you can't stop it.
Yeah, I can
totally
see that.
Caught you
I can
off
totally
guard.
See that happening.
Oh shit!
Yeah, I can totally see that.
Oh man,
like, you're not gonna catch
sneak
me.
Up on you.
Not
you
gonna catch
you.
Me.
Oh man,
fuck! It gets you, man. There's tons of times now, especially just like because we go on tour. I get back and see my kids, and because of my divorce and all this stuff, you know, when I see them sometimes, I'm just like. It hits me hard. And I have to, like, go in the kitchen and hide from them because I'm, like, crying. Or we all watch a movie together, and the movie is like a kid movie. It just something good happens. We went and saw that one. I forget what it's called. It's the latest, like, Pixar movie. It wasn't that great. It's kind of disappointing, honestly.
It can't be as bad as Lyle Lyle Crocodile, which I saw in the theater.
Is that terrible?
Yeah, that's the worst thing I've ever seen, probably since. Let me just throw it in the hat with what is the one that I hold as the worst movie I've seen? The Fast and Furious spinoff. What's that called?
Hobbs and Shaw,
Lyle Lyle Crocodile. Anyway,
that
sorry.
Was bad. No, but yeah, I mean, I fully agree. Something got me the other day. Oh, I was watching Yellowstone.
Oh.
And I'm not going to do any spoilers, but.
Okay, no spoilers. But it's something emotional. But
something bad happened, yeah. And then Kevin Costner's consoling somebody. And he just said the right thing. I mean, he just always says the right thing.
Yeah.
And it was something about a baby. It was something about like that baby had the perfect life. It only ever knew you.
Oh, shit.
You're something like that. Yeah. I promise.
The way he delivers it.
That was pretty, what Devin did was pretty good. What you just did.
Yeah.
Like Devin just sold it. If you want to rewind that, I think Devin sold that actually.
Yeah. I mean, my eyes welled up. I was just by myself watching it.
There's somebody just rewound that.
Yeah.
It's Devin. Devin saying it.
Could you do it again, Devin?
Yes.
Can you do it again?
I passed it on.
It was fast.
Can I do it again?
The way it was short was nice.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard to duplicate.
Yeah. Devin, good actor.
That baby had the perfect life because all it ever knew was you.
Both really good. Both really good.
I added a little up at the end on that one.
Yeah. Well, you.
Yeah.
My only note would be, I feel like Kevin, he probably was more like, that baby had the, like a pause. Maybe try
it was a pause.
You try with a pause. Okay, he takes it a little slower.
He's a pause. He slows it down.
He looks off. You got to look off too.
Give it another look. There.
Let's say like she's at the camera. I'm talking to her, but
yeah,
that baby. He had the perfect life because all he ever knew was you.
That was good.
So, that was really good.
Yeah, that was really good.
That was
really
good,
Devin. That was Kevin Costner. Well,
that was really good.
Well, that was really.
I appreciate that.
The pauses does do something.
It's that the pause. You got a little too sensitive at the
I got
the very last line.
I felt that
Costner wouldn't get that.
He wouldn't. Yeah,
he hangs tough.
That pause though,
but. That part though, man, it got me. And I just instantly think about my kids and all this stuff.
Yeah.
They must get so crazy because how easy it is to laugh when you do that.
Yeah.
Because the intensity is there's a certain laughter that's the same intensity as that whatever that other like the flip side of that coin is a certain frequency of laughter that is called for if you lose it.
Yeah.
You know, the intensity is the same once that flips. But that must make them, like, they all laugh, but I bet some people really are mad when that's happening, right? Can you imagine, like, you deliver that on set, and then whoever's fault it is, but it goes off, and you're like, fuck, You have to go through that. You're like, I've got to deliver that line 5 times, and they're going to crack up the next fucking 5 times I do it now, because everybody's got the giggles.
Michael Richards, Kramer, said he used to get mad, like, he would, because he'd be the one that would not break. And
Jean-Louis
or Jerry would break, and he would get so mad. He's like, come on.
Because he had to do the hard thing, and they just crack up, which ruins it.
Yeah.
But he was the one, and he had to go come through the door again or whatever, you know. Like, he probably killed a bunch of door blast-throughs, but they laughed and it ruined it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, he
blasted the door some brilliant ways, and they laughed. He couldn't get it back.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were filming with him, though, how could you not laugh?
I know.
My gosh.
I don't know.
It would just be, it almost like it would startle you every time something happened. Just instantly laugh.
Yeah, because you know there's a version of my dad's wedding where I completely crack up laughing inappropriately too, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Like that is way more likely. If there was a betting on which would happen, either probably nothing, but either could. And the one where I do some weird inappropriate laughter is definitely, the more
I
favorite.
I could totally see you like biting your nail going.
Just something, some weird
like
thing can happen.
And no one understands why you laugh like that.
Yeah. I can see
no
that.
No one would understand it. Why Buddy's son is laughing.
Yeah, it could. It's possible. Yeah, I could see that.
That's Buddy's son, right?
Yeah,
that's right. Right.
Culturally, what? It wouldn't make sense. Yes.
Yeah. Right, right. I could really see that happening.
Yeah.
We kind of missed opportunity there with Devin's line. Remember, so you remember on Seinfeld, they did the, these pretzels are making me thirsty?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And everybody did their version.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think everybody should have to do Devin's line.
Oh, do it.
What is the what's the lyrics?
Okay. I don't want to give a spoiler. I don't want to give a spoiler.
You don't need to spoil. You got to give them the line.
Okay. Well, obviously, you know what I'm saying. The line was that baby, he had a perfect life because he only knew you.
That baby, he had a perfect life because he only knew
you. So that tells you several things about the situation, you know. So, and he's consoling
another person.
Another person.
Yeah.
With that line.
Okay.
All right. So y'all take your interpretation and go for it.
That baby what?
Had a perfect life.
I mean, it can be.
That baby had a perfect life. Yeah, had a perfect that might not life be the exact because line. Of you. Just,
because all he knew was you.
Because all he knew was you.
Was you.
That baby had a perfect life because all he knew was you.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Who's going first?
Wait till I see if it comes to me. Hang on. I don't have an approach yet.
You can have a few seconds.
All right. I'm ready.
All right.
I'm going to mess up, but I'll go first because I'm going to win. That baby, he had a perfect life, and it was all because what he knew was you.
Fuck, what was it?
That baby had a perfect life.
Had a perfect life because all he knew was you.
All he knew was you.
Try it one more time.
Oh, that baby. He had a perfect life because all he knew was you.
The moan into that baby.
Oh, man, that was good.
That was a good addition.
Who's up next?
I'll try.
All right.
Stand up.
That baby, he had a perfect life, and all he knew was you.
That was great. Nice.
That was a good
that was
closeout.
Great.
That was a good closeout.
That
I
was
like
good.
That.
Good.
Okay.
All right. You got to put your thumbs in your pocket like you're a cowboy, even though nobody can see it. Yeah. That's what I did. It
makes you feel
so
different.
I felt like,
I hadn't seen the show, but I just have a slightly different angle. Okay. That baby, he had a perfect life. All he knew was you.
There we go.
Yeah.
Right. Nice.
That was like you were imploring. Like, what the fuck you crying
about? He
didn't
have a bad life. Yeah. He had a great life. Like, all he knew was you.
Now, what about
what do you mean he had a bad life?
I want one more try. Give me one more try.
I have one more try, too. So, Toby, you go. And then. Yeah.
All right.
You want me to go? Or you can go ahead if you're ready.
No, you go ahead. No, all right.
There you go. Yeah, you go ahead. No, you're going.
Okay, this is. I'm doing that line, but I'm doing it as somebody else now.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is my Sam Kinison delivers that line. The baby! Perfect line, you cop! You fucking whore! All I know is you whore!
That was good.
And now he's dead!
That was really funny on Zoom because your sound went out, so you just were like,
"Cassie is gonna be so mad."
Yeah, that's
be
good.
So mad.
Yeah, I don't have the screen. I can't go Sam Kinison where I am at the moment.
All right, Toby, what's your other one?
Well, mine was similar to Lunsford.
Oh shit!
I'm
sorry.
No. I'm glad yours is better. Mine was I'll just do it. This is what I thought in my head. It'd be the HBO version.
Okay.
So it'd be that fucking baby. God damn it. Life was perfect because all he knew was you. Fuck. That was it.
That's good. good. That's like The Wire. It's like The Wire.
You know what I mean? I was thinking more like a drama.
Yeah.
Kind of cussing.
Yeah. You could probably do a True Detective one of Matthew McConaughey saying like nihilistically.
Yeah. Nihilistic. This is a great acting exercise. I mean, this is really good.
You know, earlier Devin got me thinking, and I had this conversation with somebody recently, and so I was going to ask you your opinion, because Devin brought up Castaway, and immediately in my brain I go, what are Tom Hanks' top five movies? So hold on. Number one, probably almost no matter what, has to be Forrest Gump.
Has to be.
No, of course not. Non-negotiable. Of course it's not.
That's just me.
Oh, wow.
What?
I feel like that's an absurd statement, but go ahead.
You're saying because it's like the character was so strong and big.
I'm going by personal.
That far.
I mean, are we saying like his best acting, best movie? Like, what are you trying to?
Just as a movie, that's the biggest, craziest, wildest one. To me,
the most memorable of his.
You can go by box office.
Obviously, very memorable.
We got to define something.
Box office.
Go by whatever.
What would you say higher than that?
Like, as far as the better Tom Hanks movie and better Tom Hanks performance?
Well, yeah. What's the number one Tom Hanks movie then?
My number one Tom Hanks movie.
You have to go by personal impact. This has to be this list, right? What other list could we use? Personal impact.
I mean, to me, Saving Private Ryan is obviously a better movie than Forrest Gump for sure.
I agree with that.
But that was a big ensemble too, though.
But I don't know.
But Lunsford, you got more out of Private Ryan than you got out of Forrest Gump. That's true, at least.
I like Forrest Gump, but I don't think it holds up that great. And to me, it's not obvious that that's his best movie.
You don't think it holds up great?
Not that great.
I love it.
Yeah, I still love it.
I mean, it's the most impactful movie. It's kind of weird because I don't really like Tom Hanks in any real way. Like, I don't have any worship for Tom Hanks. But Forrest Gump, the movie, is really, in fact, I would say Forrest Gump and Big are two movies that I really personally relate to. Is the only way I could say it. Like the big thing, it was just really, I just relate to those two movies. And they're both Tom Hanks movies because he's just somehow, I don't think he's like, when I think about him being good, I don't think of him even being good. I think he's terrible in Forrest Gump mostly, in some ways. Like, but it's just something about him being relatable that's good. Like, I don't think it's that accurate. And there's some weird stuff about it, but it's like, it just, I don't know. I think Forrest Gump's awesome, but that's just me. Yeah. But Private Ryan's like, if you're just saying about movie, that might be a better movie.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what the question is. But even if the question is, what was Tom Hanks the best in? I don't think it's Forrest Gump.
I mean, Castaway would be in my top five for sure.
Castaway's a better acting job than Forrest Gump, for sure.
I'm just saying.
Would you count?
I would put
Green Mile's not bad.
Toy Story?
Toy Story's huge. Like, that's where he's like really doing great.
That's probably top five.
Green Mile is killer. Killer. It's like, you know,
great in League of Their Own.
A League of Their Own. Oh my gosh. So he's in three of like my
League of Their Own's really
favorite
good.
Movies, really. So, I mean, but I don't think of him as like great actor. I don't know. Something weird. I guess I do.
He makes great choices and people like watching him.
Yeah.
Right.
You like to watch him. It's like
Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
Da Vinci Code wasn't great. There was one movie he was in at an airport the whole time.
Oh, yeah,
Terminal. Terminal. That's good.
Oh, that's so good.
I really like
Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Tom Hanks.
Really good one.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I always like Money Pit.
Burbs.
Yeah.
What about Catch Me If You Can with Leo?
Oh, so good.
Great. That's good. So good.
He did a character on that one. He was doing like an accent and everything. Yeah. Tom Hanks to me is not, you know, like Daniel Day-Lewis does crazy shit or Christian Bale or whatever. Tom Hanks, I think, does something
even
harder. That kind of everyman. That's why, to me,
he's the most
everyman.
Yeah, he's the most everyman possible.
He's being a war hero, but like in that way where the people who were the war heroes in World War II were just teachers. Teachers from, you know, whatever. So to embody that, I think, is actually hard.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Forrest Gump, he's just playing an idiot.
Sully.
Yeah.
But Forrest Gump, like the relationship between him and Lieutenant Dan And like, just there's so much that happens in that movie. Yeah,
that, sure.
But that movie, but Gary
Sinise was better in that movie than he was, I think. Like, Gary Sinise is a better actor for that movie.
Yeah, I mean, but to play a guy named Forrest, like Forrest Gump, you have to kind of go a little bit over the top.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like,
and it could have gone
like
wrong.
If you think somebody else who had played it. It could have been way worse.
Do you know the writer of that movie got really screwed over? Like, he got like, I think originally they made Forrest Gump, and I think the guy that wrote Forrest Gump, because it was obviously a good thing, Forrest Gump, that they were, because even the, you know, whatever we're saying now, Spielberg does is big, but the guy that wrote it got like $165,000.
Wow.
Like, they bought the script from him. He's like, some guy sold the script, but he was a writer. Wow. And then later, there was like lawsuits, and he wound up getting more money eventually. Oh, wow. But like, they bought it, made Forrest Gump. They paid $160,000 to some like somebody. And there's a sequel to it that they then optioned and got buried for like 20 years and never got made or something crazy like that.
Oh, wow.
But and I tried to check out if the script was good or what the story was, but it didn't even actually sound that good. So it's weird. It's like this guy, I don't know where that comes from. It's just Forrest Gump just got made, like, but it didn't even sound like the sequel would be good, really, or anything, you know. But there's a lot in that movie. It's just, I think it's a big one for me. But it just
Apollo 13.
Apollo 13's huge.
Yeah, Apollo 13's good.
That's it. He's able to do those types of characters in a way that
I did not like Captain Phillips. That I didn't like it. An award, even no. I just didn't really like it. Something about it. I just didn't get into it.
What was the one where he was the pilot? Sully.
Sully. Yeah.
Yeah. Sully.
He was good, Matt. I mean, he's done a lot.
I'll tell you where. Go ahead. Unless we're
well, no, I was going to say, to me, it's interesting the directors he works with. Like, he did Bob Zemeckis was Forrest Gump and Castaway, who also did like Back to the Future, and the new Pinocchio. Like, so Zemeckis,
Zemeckis
has a weird career to me. And then like Spielberg has this other prestige type to him, and I don't know who the hell else he works with.
That's got to be the Hollywood people that if it really was some kind of like devil thing, they have to be it, right?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Like if it was like really like some weird, really bad thing.
Yeah.
It has to be.
He does
like
the circle and hologram for the king.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, why are you doing those? I mean, I guess money. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe so.
Yeah, some of his movies are not good. He has made some missteps for sure. But I'll tell you what I remember. And this is another nostalgia thing with him. So there is some nostalgia, I guess, even with him and Tom Cruise and stuff that endears them to me. But he was, I guess, Alex P. Keaton's cousin on
Uncle. He was uncle.
He was the uncle.
Yeah. Uncle Jimmy. On, is it Jimmy?
Family Ties.
Whatever. His name family is ties. Uncle family something, ties. Frank.
And I saw
something.
This clip the other day, and it totally reminded me of it because he was the super cool uncle. He was so fun. Alex looked up to him, thought he was awesome, but he had a drinking problem.
Yeah, he'd come stay.
And he played it perfectly, like the really cool, fun guy that then gets shitty, and there's a bad thing. And all the way to he ends up being drunk and, like, hits Alex, and Alex falls to the ground in the living room, and it's, like, really emotional done really well. And I'm like, whoa. And I remember that, thinking, oh, sometimes family members are bad. Sometimes they're the bad people and stuff. Tom Hanks, like, was that actor that showed me that. It's crazy.
Like, he was drinking the maraschino cherry juice out of their, like, stealing their stuff and getting drunk.
What was his other TV show he was in?
He started Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies, Bosom Buddies.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yeah, I wish you could see him do something, like, with Tarantino. Like, what would he look like in a Tarantino
movie?
But
he doesn't do it. I mean, he's not going to do that.
He would. I think he would.
Nah, I mean, they could have. He could.
Yeah, there's...
Nah,
he would have,
Tarantino
he could
might
have,
not have ever had nothing for him.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, but he could have done something.
Tarantino doesn't operate.
But he hasn't. Yeah. I mean, Tarantino or not, he hadn't done something where he plays that type, has he? Like, he would have had opportunity to play a type that was a bad guy or violent.
I can see him being a good, like,
that,
tough
right?
guy.
Well, I mean, he's had, I mean, any opportunity he wanted.
Yeah.
He could have created opportunity.
Road to Perdition, he was an assassin.
That's true. Yeah,
I mean, where has he played something that's not in the, you know, like he doesn't play?
I feel like he could be.
He might could, but he isn't going to.
He hasn't.
I mean, he could still at some point, but it seems like he's actively avoided playing any. I mean, has he been a villain even? Like this assassin, was that a villain? Has he played a total villain?
Well, he was the.
I mean, some.
He was an anti-hero in Road to Perdition. He was an assassin for the mafia.
But no
villain. But he ended up. Yeah. He wasn't.
Or violent. Not, like particularly graphically violent.
Part of me feels like that's almost strategic too.
It's gotta be.
Like a lot of people probably have that mindset, like, oh, I don't want to be viewed as a villain by a fan.
Yeah,
you know,
kind
of holding up this certain.
Right.
They definitely do that.
Yeah,
for sure.
For sure.
I'm sure he played.
Now, Toby and I saw the previews. Speaking of sequels, we were talking about that a little bit ago, and this is many, many sequels. But so we saw the preview of what is going to be my favorite movie.
Yeah,
of all time. I haven't even seen the movie yet.
Creed 3.
I'm almost positive. Creed 3 is very likely going to be my favorite movie.
It looks so
good. Creed 2 was so good.
Creed 2 was unbelievable.
I haven't seen Creed 2. Really
unbelievable. I mean, unbelievable.
Creed 2 was so good.
Creed 1 was great.
Such a good movie.
Creed, the sequel, blasted it.
Yeah.
And then Creed 3 is going to be maybe beyond. And
that's really high. That's too high expectations.
Sylvester Stallone's shitting all over it. Sylvester Stallone's mad.
I know. He lost the rights to something, and he wanted.
I don't understand why they wouldn't have.
I don't know.
Maybe he was trying to not make it good or something. I don't know. But I thought, the ads look amazing.
But gosh, when we saw that in the trailer in the theater, and I was like, oh my.
That's a bad setup of bad expectations on that. That's a lot.
But it was just so good.
I think it's gonna live up to it.
It's gonna be during one of our Songs and Stories tours too.
Which one?
We'll get to go see it. Maybe the second one.
February.
Maybe in Philly or New York. Something.
Nice.
Anyway. I'll see it. You know what I did the other day? And it was just fucking unbelievable. It was so great. Is there's a thing. It's called Freevee. Y'all have that? It's like free TV, basically, right? It's just on and it has a bunch of stuff. One of them is just the old sitcom channel. And I watched 3 episodes of Perfect Stranger.
Nice.
And it was... Cool. So easy to laugh to and enjoy.
Yeah.
It was so great. It really made me feel good. It made me remember, like, wait a minute. TV used to be like something kind of bad happened, not even that bad, and it was still fixed and love was given. And it just felt really good. And like, it was so funny. It's just some Italian lady is pregnant. And she's due any day, but her husband's a truck driver and stuck somewhere and isn't calling or whatever. So she has to stay with Balky and Larry, and then they sleep on the couch together. And everything's like, even like the acting is blocked. You know how they stand so they can, the camera can see it, and everything's really. And I was like, it's just so great. It makes everything not feel like now every fucking show's like the worst possible thing that can happen to you. You have to think about it. Like, it's like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's shows are like just awful. Yeah. And this is like, oh my gosh. And then of course Larry makes this huge plan to get the lady to the hospital in case she goes into labor. And then she does go into labor and Balky's the one that's calm and relaxed and gets them there. And Larry screws it, you know, and then
that's just the most classic thing. There's a pregnant lady. It ends with going into labor and the frantic whatever happens. And then the unexpected thing. And
But she went into labor in the car and Balky had to deliver the baby. And he did. And then him and Larry both are like, just feel the moment or just say, you know.
Oh yeah.
And it was the episode 2 where they met their girlfriends. Remember their girlfriends are on there for a long
time. Jennifer and Marianne.
They met them at the gym and then they become their girlfriends. And so it was just so nice to watch something that was just so lighthearted. And I knew something good would happen at the end. And it was so wonderful. I watched like 3 episodes right in a row. I was like, I'm going to start doing this from now on. Like, it's way better than
funny.
The head
it's almost like
Perfect Strangers like and Wings TV just can do it. They just can do it unlimited.
I mean, a character like Lowell, you know, the mechanic, just so goofy and funny. I mean, those shows, it was almost more like kid TV a little bit looking back. I guess that's family TV is the way they would describe it.
You know, there's a show that I think is actually underrated, even though I think everybody thinks that it's amazing. I do believe, because I watched a few episodes of it as well, Frasier.
It's so fucking amazing.
I think it's underrated because...
It's one of the most popular sitcoms of all time.
But I think it gets not as much credit because it's a spinoff of Cheers.
It's
and so Cheers is the big one, and then also it was kind of a witty comedy that you know, Seinfeld they said was more witty. Or
yeah,
you know,
Seinfeld
more
is what hurts
or something,
their
you know what I mean?
Legacy.
And
if so, it wasn't
but
for Frasier, in that era, Frasier would.
But
have
Frasier
like
beat
the top.
Seinfeld every year. That's the funny. What Toby's saying is right. It is underrated, but yet it was.
Yeah,
it won every year for best sitcom, and and Frasier,
Kelsey
Grammer,
all the credit.
Right, Seinfeld only won one time the Emmy for best sitcom.
But it's the it's the credible one.
You're right. Yeah. Yes, but it was more after the fact.
Right. Yeah,
because
Frasier was so funny.
It's so good.
Niles.
Yeah.
Yeah, Frasier delivered, but that's because of the Cheers DNA is the best of all time. Period, in my opinion,
it's really good.
I think the Cheers DNA is the best ever. And then Frasier's just one spinoff of it, so strong or whatever. But, you know, that's so really good. But Cheers was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My, all those old TV shows.
My favorite, one of my favorite stories when Seinfeld was starting was how mad Larry David was that they were going to follow Cheers.
Because they had to come on after Cheers.
Yeah, they didn't want to. He wasn't fucking Ted Danson. He thought their show was stupid. And like, you know, they don't need Ted Danson to get people to watch their show. And then in Curb, of course, Ted Danson is one of his kind of rivals, you know, frenemy.
That's funny.
It's good. He was not happy about it.
I was watching a video about, it was Bill Hader talking about how he actually got Larry David to laugh.
Oh, yeah.
He said, did y'all see that? Because Larry David won't laugh at anything. He's always short or whatever. But Bill Hader, he said Larry loves Bill Hader's impressions of, like, I don't know, I guess mid-century, like, hosts or whatever, and actors and how they talked. And he said he did this, it was like somebody like Burt Lancaster or something like that, like one of those old-time actors. And he said Burt Lancaster had chowder delivered to his to himself. And this was Bill Hader's invitation. He goes, Bert just looks down at the bag for like 15 minutes and then looks up and goes, "Crackers. Where are the crackers?" And he said, Larry David, he just heard him go, "Oh," laughing like that. "Where are the crackers?" That was it. But whatever that invitation was, Bill Hader got him to laugh. And nobody, I guess he doesn't laugh that much, you know? He cracks up on the show a ton, but like a belly laugh.
Yeah. Bill Hader is really funny.
Yeah.
Like, he is just, there's something so kind of relatable about him, too.
Yeah.
I think that was what's so good about, you know, Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
It's kind of relatable. And then Jimmy Fallon's a little bit like that. You know, like, they have this character, this quality that kind of makes people feel like the buddies or something. But Bill Hader's that way, I always feel like. Because he'll be doing podcasts or an interview, and he just, laughing
so funny.
He has something in common with Jim Carrey, doesn't he?
Maybe a little
as far as his type of talent.
Yeah, like the ability to like mold himself into whatever he's about to do next. It's like he can become something plasticky, like into a different shape or character pretty fast.
Yeah, it's way more subdued than Jim Carrey, but it is the same thing. He turns his face,
does something.
His Jabba the Hutt impression is real good.
Yeah, he's great. He did. I saw a podcast with him. He was talking about a bit that they were going to do on Saturday Night Live that they never did, or something. It's Casey Kasem. He was really good at Casey Kasem, and like his Casey Kasem's kid came home and they were estranged for years, and them having a conversation back and forth, but they both sounded like Casey Kasem. And he was just dying laughing at this skit that they never were able to do, but how funny it was because they wrote it and stuff. But yeah, he's great. I love him.
I watched a ton. Like, one of the TikToks I saw today had like five different videos that were like 3-4 minutes long each of Eastbound and Down bloopers. And it was so fucking funny. One of the ones I could not stop watching and laughing at was he's telling a baseball player about this party he's going to throw, and he's just naming actors that are going to be there, you know what I mean? But just off the top of his head, and he goes, we haven't heard from his people yet, but Daniel Day-Lewis is going to show up. You know, and he said, right from that, he's making the guy laugh every time, and he goes, and that's not it. That's not the end of the list. Tressel from what's the show, like Road Rules?
Real World.
Trishel. Be on their but yeah, Trishel. But he just kept just naming people, and they could not stop laughing every time.
That's a deep cut right there, Trishel.
I need to, you know, the movie, before we get off here, you know, the movie Pineapple Express.
Yeah.
Remember that? That's so funny. But I think we saw that before I ever really took weed or anything.
Yeah.
I need to take some weed.
That, yeah.
And watch
Watch Pineapple Express.
We should watch some weed movies funnier. Together. How?
I come and do it.
Even or something.
Yeah.
Maybe I come there and do that.
You just come and do it.
We should just, like, it'd be so cool just to have a weekend where we watch movies and get high. That's not going to happen. Like, that's not going to happen. It's impossible for that to happen.
It's impossible.
Like,
unless I win the lottery. Devin and I, y'all didn't buy tickets, so y'all got Mega Millions out there. It's up to $750 million.
Nice.
I'm going to wait it out till it gets a lot
higher. You should have got some tickets here in South Carolina.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
Y'all would have loved mine and Megan's conversation in the bed last night. We were both laying there just flat on our backs before we go to sleep, looking at the ceiling, talking about what we would do with all the money.
Yeah.
That has to be the most common conversation. Funny. There's something
that's
really
worth
crazy
the
about
ticket
that.
Price. That's worth the ticket price.
But that's
price.
The it's that's so the value. That is the received value is exactly that conversation. 100%. But think of how common that conversation, how many people have had that conversation with their one that they buy the ticket with.
Well, you don't want to forget about Aunt Denise.
Like, it's like weather is higher, of course. Like, weather more. But what as sports more. You know, you have sports conversations a little bit more.
How about this hypothetical? This is a total hypothetical. If someone were to win and they had newly started dating someone, is the person that they are dating entitled to some of the money that you want?
A newly dating person?
Like how?
Right.
I don't think so.
Unless you have an agreement.
But wouldn't it break up? It'd probably break up that relationship if you didn't do something.
But if you both bought tickets and you're like, hey, we'll do 80-20 or something.
Yeah.
That might be reasonable just so you, if you like the person.
Yeah.
But it can't.
Okay, how about this? I also, you can do the, okay, how about this? I do HGTV Dream Home. Right. And you can enter it twice a day, one on HGTV.com and one on
How long have you been doing this? How long have you been doing this?
You can enter twice and then you can go back and do a different email. Right.
Yeah.
So I go and do two of my emails right now.
For how many years have you been participating?
Nine. I think it's nine. Let's move on from that. Now,
do you have it on a reminder, or do you just
I get an email every day. I get an email from HGTV
every day.
Oh, is this my reminder? Yeah, because you have to do it every day till. Like,
well, wait, you've been doing it every day for 9 years.
Is there
no?
A, is
just
that, okay.
Just for about a month, a little over a month.
You said 9 years.
Yeah, nine different
for the
contests.
Past 9 years.
I think it was 9 years I've been doing.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I got you.
Got
it. Yeah. Maybe longer, I don't know. But I use my two emails, right? Now, what if I say, Devin, can I use your email to enter again so I can, you know, I'd give me a third chance? Are you entitled to a percentage?
Yes.
Because I used your email.
Because the resentment.
How much?
Well,
but you do nothing. I'm the one that just puts it out. I do all
you,
the work.
That deal
that's a bad situation.
What is the deal? How much are you supposed to get?
30%.
30% for using your email?
Yeah.
30%.
You can go make a new email.
At least 30%. I mean, 30%. 50-50 would be fine.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
But 30% would be, if it's less than 30% resentment.
Or I give you 5%, just use your email.
But now Devin just go enter his own email in now.
But you won't. I will.
But if you make me think about it, I might.
But
you are not going to do it.
At some point, if I set a certain percentage, you would say, well, I'll just go start a new email.
Yes.
Right. But if you didn't communicate it and then it went down, you would feel like, wait a second.
That would be
crazy. Because listen, it would be in Devin's email.
You wouldn't even know. Toby wouldn't know.
Yeah, but there'd be this moment that you're not thinking about yet where Devin is getting in his own email an email to him that says claim 100% right now. There's a moment where Devin's looking at his inbox and it is his clear pathway to claim it at 100%, at which point he goes, wait a minute, I'm going to give it over to Toby. He's going to give me 5%. That's going to feel weird when he looks at that email that says claim now.
I believe in Devin.
But he registered under, you did that. Like,
just don't put me in that
position. I just don't think Devin's ready to make a 5% deal on this.
I'm not Lunsford, sure.
Are
you?
No, absolutely not.
30 or 50-50.
You'd rather get none. You'd rather get none than 5% of a dream.
But I'm just telling you, I just go enter in my own email.
You won't do it.
But he's right. It's worth something because you wouldn't have fucking done it and you fucking know it.
You won't.
So it's not zero that Toby.
Yeah, but it
gets.
can't.
It's kind of like asking somebody to buy a lottery ticket for you and never paying them or something.
50-50
like,
is the anchor.
Hey, mind picking me up
probably
a lottery ticket, and then that one is the one that wins. Yeah. What am I going to give? I might say, well, this was mine.
50-50 is the only way to guarantee no resentment if you're willing to risk a relationship over a dream home, HGTV.
Yeah,
50-50 is what.
Now, do I move in? We move in together.
Or you could sell it.
No, we'd sell it, and I would give you 3%.
Now,
3% of $3 million, probably. You don't want that.
Okay. Now, I know we've been doing this for a while.
I'm not making that deal.
Every time you go out to dinner, every time we go to Wendy's anything. For the rest of your life, it's in both of your minds.
Yeah. No, okay. To end the podcast tonight, I want us to all go around and say who you would give money to if you won the lottery.
Okay.
Or what you would do
for
those people.
How much? Are we talking about this lottery, $750 million?
Let's say you end up
with about $350 million, I think.
Let's say you get about $350 million dollars after taxes.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are we talking? $350 million.
Yes.
I go.
So I'll start it off. Obviously, give them some to family. I mean, you just have to. I mean,
how much?
Lump sums, or you'd give them continually upon your discretion?
Lump sums.
I would say with my family, I mean, I would pay for stuff. I would always pay for stuff forever. Or if somebody needed something big, then I would help obviously do that. But I would probably give them a lump sum, you know,
in the thousands?
Say, hey, oh, yeah.
Or hundreds. What do you mean, hundreds of dollars he's going to give to his relatives?
I'd give them $150.
Yeah.
I would probably give them...
100,000?
Hundreds of thousands each.
Yeah.
I don't see.
How many people is that?
I mean, I'll wait for my turn.
My siblings.
Any amount you give them. Of course. Any amount you give them is an insult.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Any amount you give, that's a fucking insult.
Under a million might be an insult.
Right.
I don't think it'd be an insult to my family.
Maybe not.
You didn't do anything. I'll give you my thoughts.
All right. Who else? Let's move on from your family.
Well,
who
else?
Because I got
a nightmare.
Okay. So then.
By the way, hold on. Before you just say this too. I told Devin about the lottery, told him Megan is super lucky, and I said she has to buy some. And I did say I want a $10 million finder's fee if they win.
Oh, now, well, I would give you that. Okay. I would give you that.
Tell them about the lottery. Devin.
For telling.
Devin, next week they do the lottery. Again next week, Devin. I'll take $10 million.
Look, okay. We're moving
Devin,
on.
He
would not have bought it without
about
me.
Megan listen, and her luck. Listen, of
Devin
the
would
draw,
not have bought
I
that without
positive,
me. Zero chance. Y'all did nothing. I did everything.
But listen, okay.
Now, that's going to ruin this friend group.
But
Toby
but
gets $10 million for doing nothing.
I really believe
we're
in
done.
You and Megan.
It's over.
Okay.
I pray. I do prayers.
If I won, so the family, and then you get into close friends, and I would say I don't have more than, you know, 7 to 10 close friends. Like,
yeah,
some best, and it kind of tapers down a little bit.
You then get you get down to Lunsford.
I guess, you know, right on the line, on the fence line.
The Lunsford line.
But I'm not, I would want to give, I would want to give every, I would want to give all of them money. And I don't know if everybody would take it. I would want to, though.
Yeah.
That would make me happy.
But there's the cusp is so harsh because it is this guy, but it's not that fucking guy. Somewhere that happens to somebody.
But
you go from the guy that gets
you're talking about your side of the family, Megan's side of the family, us. That's a lot of people.
No, I know. I know. I'm not saying million. Everybody gets unreal amounts. But I'm just saying in top 10 friends, I think what I would do is I would have the friend group, like our five guys who have a text thread, the band, you know, and then a few other people, maybe just whatever that is. And I would just say, no matter what, forever, we do one trip a year, all expenses paid.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about anything. And we go somewhere awesome for a week or so. Mm-hmm.
That, and then every year, better, it's just a that would gift be so much better than any lump sum. Like, I know. The lump sum game is that just can't be executed well, I don't think.
Well, this is what let me tell you my idea. When I thought about it, I was like, you know what I would do? I really would buy, I probably would just buy, maybe rent if it's cheaper, unbelievable tour buses. And I say buses, plural, so families and wives, girlfriends, all those things could come. And I would hire Lunsford at a very great pay. He would be our tour manager, but you would just get paid unbelievably well. Instead of giving you money, you get a tour manager job that will make you a lot of money.
Huh?
Like a lot. Right. And I think, you know, and then I could make all the shows turn out great. We could get any venue. You could just always spend money like that.
Can we pay people to come to the shows and listen to the podcast?
Hell yeah. Wouldn't that be funny?
Can we pay like a dollar a listen? Listen to the podcast. Yeah, yeah. One to fucking
I will send
dollar.
You a dollar.
But I want to watch, you know, just you.
Well, that'd be cool. Yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking too. Similarly, I would just pay like whatever Emory.
Really satisfying to see the numbers go up
every year. I would just pay, like I would just give a lump sum, or like I would pay part of that salary or something for Emory to do Emory stuff, and you know what I mean, or something like that. Yeah. I think
you're on the right track with friends. I think. You got to come up with some sort of business idea that would be fun.
You
got to
make
an
entourage that's functional.
Yeah, and it could be some sort of break-even endeavor at least that would, over a long period of time, maybe have some value that you could sell and have everybody have equity or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
It can't just be like, here, Toby, I'm going to give you $2 million. Because that's not even fun. But I would be like, hey, let's put our heads together. What is something really we could do? So I have $300 million. Here, I have it.
That would that would be hard, right?
No, it'd be really hard, but we'd think about
anything that you'd want as a normal outcome, you could simply directly purchase.
So hey, look, I'm taking $30 million and here's our startup. We have $30 million to start up a business. Everybody on $100,000 salary or something like that, whatever, to make it everybody want to focus on it. You don't
doesn't sound like the start of a good business to me.
It could be great.
At least has to be built on something.
On set, not just we'd have to really put our heads together. I mean, it
like
could
everybody
be
gets the salary, then you show up week one, like, okay, what's the product, guys?
No. I'm saying like even if it's just like you start like a Topgolf or something. Anything where you just need
some
money to figure out how to get.
Yeah.
You see this all into a Jimmy John's empire.
We opened 15. Yeah, yes, we opened 15 exactly. Jimmy John's.
Okay. Yep,
yeah.
And Matt is something, and Toby.
I got my own store.
Something.
You got your own store. We're fucking hanging out, doing retreats. Like, we're crushing.
So, like director of operations, and then this person and whatever. And you do something like that. Boring, but you know.
But Toby funds it and. Like, is he going to fire us if it goes bad?
No, because it won't. Because
doesn't really matter.
The only goal there would be, like Lunger said, just to break even. You know, I mean, as long as it's not losing money, you have plenty of money to pay your friends. So that
you need to have some, you know, there's a level of trust there. Yeah. Like, hey, we've got to make this work. I want to pay all this money so we can have a good time, but also let's make sure that this can go. But. I mean, as far as family, I think if I win $300 million, I can't not make my family unbelievably wealthy. because right. you didn't do anything for right. it. Like mm-hmm. it's the lottery. So like right. my yeah. sisters and my, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. like $10 million easy.
Yeah.
Right.
Just, yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
So
lump sum yeah. to blood.
The blood. Yeah. It's just, think blood. Here you go. $10 million. Yeah. Don't ever ask me for money again, ever, mm-hmm. or you will be dead to me.
Because you'll probably still hook them up right. anyway, most likely. Like, pay for when what, it's... like, if you book the condo in Vail to go skiing, maybe. You just buy yeah. everybody's plane tickets probably still.
Yeah.
You don't...
Yeah.
They're like, does that come out of you my cut? Like, well, because, like, you right. invite... Because what happens is you say, you invite your sister and their kids, and there's, like, a bunch of, like, five or six people. You're like, we got the condo in Vail on this weekend, so see y'all yeah. out there. And they're like, well, I mean, we can't afford tickets, sorry. And you're like... I gave you $10 million fucking dollars.
Yeah, so now do they you want them what are you, to spend what are you their money talking the way about? You want them to.
Yeah, yeah right. right. So you know, I'll buy the tickets. But anyway, see you on the weekend.
Yeah, there's always going to be that expectation from other people, like paying.
Yeah, keeping it to a very yeah, low always. Amount of people that know that you won would be, depending on the state, I guess you can't help it. But you can do like yeah. a trust. There's ways around it, I guess. So I don't know.
Well, we'll let you know how it goes once we win it.
Yeah.
I'm believing in you and Megan, Devin.
Yes.
I'm in.
I think the numbers are out.
If you gave me $1 million, 11 though, p.m., that would be cool.
If I give you how much?
Like $1 million.
That's what I'm saying. You like got to. If you didn't give me at least $1 million, I would not be your friend anymore.
No, I would. I would. That's what I'm saying. But I would want to give you some money.
But it's very.
Right. I think it'd be cool.
Very different than if you got rich because you built.
But think of like Toby company. When you found out the other people he gave $1 million to. You're like, he gave that fucking guy $1 million to him. $1 million.
That could have been my $1 million.
Okay, yeah. I'll name the people I give $1 million to right now. Live on part due. Yeah. I'll give $1 million to Matt.
Woo! Number one, Toby, baby.
Dave. Josh, Aaron Lunsford, oh,
fuck yeah.
Matt McDonald,
ooh.
And Chris Keene.
That's a nice Chris Keene? You know, that's yeah. bulletproof. I think that's hard for people to argue with that. That's really yeah. hard for people to argue with that. So Chris. It probably would, you know, that would probably hold up. That's a pretty firm boundary, but that means you don't.
Beyond that circle, I'm probably not going to give you $1 million.
How much do
I might pay for dinner.
I mean, the border case is that Chris Keene gets $1 million and Seth Studley doesn't. That becomes the problem.
Ouch.
But
Seth gets zero.
In the,
nothing.
Is less than $1 million still okay? Like, what if I gave... what if there was another circle outside of that where I gave him...
A certain amount, too.
$250.
Well, Seth will understand about Chris when that happens. What? That'll be fine.
It'll be...
I'm sure.
Would you give Seth $1 million?
I don't think Matt would give anybody anything.
Yeah, Matt would be so greedy.
Matt wouldn't give anybody anything.
It's not about greed. It's just
it's about greed.
I don't want it. I don't want any of it. I don't
give it all away. Kick family out of Christmas.
Then the best thing you could do would be split it.
I'm not supposed to believe that.
You split it up evenly with everybody on this podcast, and you take none. And then we'll help you. We'll give you some.
Let us help.
And then we'll give it back to you.
Agreed.
You'd be happier.
Okay.
Because then you'd give it all to us.
Stamp it.
You give it all to us.
Thinking, oh, man.
And then we would all be like,
stamp it right now, legal in court. Fuck you. Fuck me. Shoot me in the head if I change my mind. Use this in evidence. This is real. Fucking forever. I give it to you three and y'all take care of me.
No. You'd be thinking about
put it in court.
Property
no matter what. I'd never. Nothing I ever signed. Invalidates
you'd be to build
what
a house
right
over
now.
By Brandon Ebel. Driving a, I promise to God you'd be driving a white Corvette, you bitch. Within 2 weeks, Carter would be driving a white Corvette.
Mm-hmm. No.
I would.
Just unreal.
So I do think if you gave me $1 million, I'm not sure if it's what you should do or the smartest thing, but I feel like I would just like get whatever our forever home was going to be and just not have a mortgage. Yeah. And that be like, okay, now I'm that much better every month. Even though I know that's not financially what maybe somebody would tell you to do, but seems the safest thing, right?
If you
look at all living in the same spot, I would try to convince y'all. I actually would try to convince y'all, maybe not here, but Could we agree on a spot where we could all live together?
It would have to like be in the same. Yeah.
Depends
town.
On how to, big Daddy's pockets
yeah,
are.
You've yeah, if to, you're making your a thumbs filthy on rich, every scale, then sure.
Well, you know, then there's like all this stuff that you're controlling.
That's what I'm saying. Like if I gave you three $10 million each, and you had to, but one of the things was you had to move to Champaign,
and then we had that conversation where I go, oh,
yeah.
So there's strings attached.
You would do it?
Yeah. Not like you're like, you had to, or like, hey, here's what I want to do. $10 million. We're going to start a business. I want everybody to live together or something like that.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, because once you got $10 million, like everybody, I don't need my job anymore.
Right. And all your best friends live in that area.
Yeah. So and then we experience.
You travel as much as you want. So
yeah. It's like,
I don't know
like
what town
plan.
We could all agree on.
You go, it'd be awesome. You're my brother. I choose you. Once you have $10 million.
I would consider moving from Champaign, but I wouldn't go to Seattle. I don't think I would go to...
For $10 million?
I don't know what city we could all agree on.
Utah's fuck nice.
LA. What you should do, what anybody should do is you keep your house, you fix it up, you know, put whatever you want into it, make it look real nice and awesome, and then you just buy a couple vacation homes.
Yeah,
that's true.
You can do Airbnb those.
I would vote that we could go to Dallas. I'd say it's the most meat in the middle, better weather, still kind of out west, and cheap. Yeah. You get a fucking mansion.
Why not Mexico then? Just go.
Ooh, Mexico's good too.
Just
I
go.
That.
But I don't know if I could do 100%.
Yeah, because then you got to do your kids there.
Why do we have to stay there all year?
Yeah.
You don't have to.
Why don't we migrate?
We just build a compound. Yeah. What about a compound? Okay, I build a compound that is amazing that has 10 houses. In this huge compound, all this land, and I will always pay for your flight to Mexico whenever. Just
6 months
so
in Iceland.
I might come down too and hang out.
6 months in Mexico, Iceland spa, you know, whatever. Do you do that whole circuit, and then you go to Mexico in the winter, and it's like perfect.
I just saw a thing where a guy
Iceland
bought
in
a
the
permanent
summer.
A permanent cabin on one of the cruises.
Yeah.
So he paid, I forget how much it was. It's like maybe $800,000 or something like that.
Oh, wow.
But
anytime he wants.
But he can stay on it forever and do the buffet.
He just,
you know, so.
He just lives on it.
Yeah. So he just lives on it, travels around That's and crazy. Gets off sometimes at different ports and works because he does have Wi-Fi. And so, crazy. All right. That's we cool. got to go.
Peace.
All right.